an outcome of that. First, there was very positive feedback on the development of the initial five-year operating plan, specifically the process and the format. One of the things that we're going to do is maintain the format for both the strategic plan, and it has very similar for the operating plan, both the five-year and the annual. So there'll be an easy connection and continuity of communication between the three. And that was pointed out, and we will be following that. Secondly, the whole five-year planning process leading to an annual plan and showing the results and incorporating those results into the next five-year operating plan. The second key point that was brought up is the key performance indicators, and there were 20 in the plan, one or two per goal, and there are 16 goals in the five-year operating plan. There was a need that those are still need more refinement, specifically in the areas of specificity in order of defining what we mean in one case like health metrics, and secondly, if you will, defining some of the terms so it's better and more understood clearly what the KPI truly is showing. The key performance indicators are something that is evolving for us, and we're going to continue to evolve it even after we put out the five-year operating plan, and we'll share that as we go from lessons learned and improvements and things of that nature. The third key point that came out of the draft five-year operating plan public comments is the introduction of a five-year financial model, because it helps understand ICANN's approach going forward. Xavier is going to talk a little bit more about that in the next couple of slides later, and it will help us explain what's in that financial model. The public comment analysis was broken into six parts, and this shows the eight groups that participated and where the comments lied when we looked at the analysis. The six areas were planning and process, key performance indicators, dependencies, phasing, financial model, and other. What really fit into the other category had a lot to do with some clerical typos, things like that, but it also had a lot to do with some of the suggestions for revising the strategic plan. I'm now going to go for each one of those six areas. I'm going to give you a brief highlight and some of what we're doing about each, some of the comments given. Regarding the planning and process comments, once we've put it out, it was the first time putting it out, there was a lot of questions about what is the update process going to be since we have now introduced this new element. The answer is it's going to be updated on a yearly basis, and the process we'll use for updating and what is the mechanism we're going to do is the little diagram that you can see on the right-hand side here that shows that we are going to monitor and report, explain the variances, review and update, present that and get consultation with the community and submit it to the board, and then once it's approved, do that cycle again on an annual basis. The second section was the key performance indicators. I've kind of highlighted some of that when I was giving the overview, but I just think it's really important to kind of make sure we're clear which one. One was to request clarifications and definitions of KPIs and their phrasing, and we are continuing to do that, and we'll revise it. In fact, there is a red line five-year operating plan that was reposted based on some of the comments received of all of these. We will be updating that one more time after consultation here from Singapore, and then our idea and suggestion is to present it to the board, is on the plan, by the end of March, and then the board will probably approve it in April when they have their meeting. The second key performance indicator was using a number of mechanisms. So what they're talking about here is what process are we going to use to refine the key performance indicators, study them. When you look at some of the key performance indicators, setting some targets, setting a little bit better definition, and we're going through and reviewing that by a cross functional organizational management team now, and as we continue to develop those, we will be sharing that information. The third one is comments on the quality of the KPI. The answer is we are going to continue to evolve and develop them. Each individual question is individually answered on the formal report that is posted. With respect to dependencies, specifically 4.3 wanted us to incorporate and adjust the phasing, and we have rewritten the wording of 4.3 to make it more specific to phasing as it was not clear in the original. The second one is the community bandwidth is not necessarily a dependency just for 2.3, so we are going to revise it to incorporate that across all areas, and we are going to revise it in the final draft. With respect to phasing, this is for everyone. When I'm talking about phasing in the operating plan, it says FY16, FY17, 18, 19, 20, and what happens in each individual year for each one of the specific 16 goals. And so this says we're going to go ahead and revise some of those wording and phrasing, and there are specifics in the plan. The second one, which I'm going to ask Xavier to highlight, which is comments on the SONAC request process. The question is the elimination of that process.
Thank you, Carol. This is Xavier Calvez. In the five-year operating plan draft that has been reviewed, we have indicated in FY17 a wind down of the current SONAC special request budget process, which, as a reminder, is simply to offer a request mechanism from the SONACs for funding on specific types of activities that suit them better, even though they may not be of interest to all organizations. We have been carrying out this process for a few years. The idea in the plan is to wind down this process under the presumption that it would be replaced by an alternative that's suitable to all the organizations, and our intent would be that the activities that are currently submitted for funding requests would be integrated into the base budget of ICANN, simply making the process easier and more flexible for those specific activities. So the elimination will only be the result of a collaborative work with the communities that currently use this process to find a suitable alternative, and it will not be wind down until we have done that. Sorry. Thank you.
Since it's in this area, please feel free to go ahead.
It is directly to that. Thank you.
Please say your name when.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wolf Knoben speaking from the ISPs. Just a question to that. Do you have a draft, or do you come up with a draft with that? So, just to see the timeline for the new process in mind.
We don't as of yet. And again, it's in 2 years in the plan, simply to give ourselves enough time to get to that point. So we do not yet have a draft alternative process. It does need some work, for sure, and consultation. We've had very preliminary discussions in the staff, and there's definitely benefits to the current process that are considered both by the community and the staff as well, and we just need to find the right alternatives. It has not been done yet.
Thank you. Xavier? Next section here is the financial model comments, and Xavier, why don't you go ahead and answer those as well.
Xavier Calvez again. Thank you, Carol. The comments on the financial model were first positive on the fact that it exists, that it is included in the five-year operating plan, and that the five-year operating plan will be associated with five-year financials. One of the main comments is, for now, it is, and this is a comment that was provided by, I know, the CCNSO and I think one or two other organizations as well, that it is currently difficult to be able to relate the activities in the plan to the level of income and expenditures of ICANN. So the model, the financial model that we will provide that's been described in the five-year plan is a model that provides high-level revenues and expenses and cash contributions to reserves over a five-year period. The current information that this model is not providing is visibility on how each of the set of activities that are in the plan translate into detailed resource requirements and how those requirements aggregate into the high-level financial aggregates. So this is a step that is ahead of us. We are not set up today to be able to have that direct link at a granular level that then consolidates into the financials. So the financial model for now is an overview of the resources. We are working through the steps that lead to the ability to have a detailed, granular set of resource requirements associated with each activity. It will take several months and steps to be able to complete, because it requires that we are able to plan and quantify resource requirements at a very granular level. So that's what this comments was about. There was also a few more minor comments on clarifying the description of expense evaluation and assessment.
Sorry. Thank you, Xavier. The last section here is on the other comments. As I mentioned, it ranged from typographical and noted minor changes. The second part is requests for more information about aspects of the plan. The best way to say this is if you go to the actual posting, it's a more detailed report of each one of the requests and with very specific answers, which was one of the feedbacks we got, as people wanted a specific line-by-line answer to their input, and we've gone ahead and done that. And the third one had to do with a lot of, there were quite a few requests to change the strategic plan, either combined, like 4.1 and 4.2, which have to do with public responsibility, or they wanted in 2.1, there were four, and they thought they should be revised. At this point in time, we are not going to be changing the strategic plan. It was developed over 18 months, and the board approved it back in October. And so we will be carrying forward that strategic plan as written. We will, of course, go back and look at it if something significant were to change or critical. But at this point, in terms of wording changes and revising, which combining sections, we are not going to make those changes. The next time we will explore that would be in FY19, because we took about 18 months to develop the first five-year plan that we have in place. Now we will do it again at that time. Again, barring any critical developments. Okay. So what takes us to the finish line? To finalize the five-year operating plan, we're going to continue to get consultations, and in this discussion now, if there's areas of specific areas that you'd like to bring up with regards to the key performance indicators, we'll certainly take more additional information down and incorporate that and look at that and analyze it to be put into the plan. The second is we're going to update it, and the third is we're going to submit it to the board, as I said, in March, with the idea that they would approve it in April during their meeting. The links here is for the public comment report itself, and we have been updating the webpage with more clarity and information about the planning process, and that can also be seen here. And in the meantime, we're still operating within the FY15 operating plan and budget that was approved previously, and that's what we're monitoring and reporting against now. This is the timeline and schedule that we shared for developing the five-year operating plan. The answer to this is we are on track to complete it in March. This is a more a slightly bigger picture of the update process, in which I mentioned I'm just sharing with you that this is a little bit easier to read, and it does talk about monitoring and reporting on performance, explanation of any variances, reviewing it, and then approving. Now I'm going to pass it on to Xavier to share about the stakeholder presentation.
Thank you, Carol. The you may be aware of the fact that we have performed so far two different quarterly stakeholders presentation. The last one was held on the 29th of January. It was a public presentation and conference call. We had about a bit less than 200 participants. The previous one was held on November 20th. It covered the first quarter of our fiscal year that went from July through to September 2014. This last call on January 20th covered the period of October through December. This call in presentation have the purpose to provide a comprehensive reporting of the activities of the entire organization for the preceding quarter. Those of you who are familiar with shareholder or investor presentations in the corporate world may find similarities here. This is our version. It's our stakeholders' presentation. And I will provide a view on, selfishly, the financial section of the information that was presented, but I will start by indicating the overall agenda of that presentation. There's a link, there's that presentation, as well as its audio recording is available on our website if you would like to look at them if you didn't have a chance to attend live. If you do a search on ICANN.org on quarterly presentation, you will find immediately the link to the section where those two presentations materials are present. We intend to continue using this process in communication tool as a tool to communicate on the activities on the organization and reporting on it, and which is an opportunity as well to save time and use the meetings, for the face-to-face meetings, for substantive work rather than updates. Next slide, please. So the calls have included the same structure so far, with a president's overview by Fadi for approximately 10 minutes. Then David Olive provides an overview of the policy work that has been completed during the preceding quarter across all policy development. There is then a management update that covers all the other activities of the organizations other than policy that was provided last time by Sally Costerton. The previous management update was presented by Akram Atala. And the next one will be presented by another global leader of the organization as a rotation mechanism. The management update covers all areas of the organization each time. There is then a financial update that no one else but me wanted to do, and then a Q&A session. I will go over
the few slides that correspond to the financial update now. Next. This is a strange format, but this is the an overview of our revenues at ICANN. The dollar figures that appear on this slide correspond to the revenues for the first 6 months of the year, from July 2014 to December 2014, corresponding to the first 6 months of our fiscal year. You can see horizontally that our revenue comes from registries at the top and registrars at the bottom. The leftmost column shows that our revenue is driven, one, by the number of domain name registrations, which are simply each registration of a domain name on the internet reported by the registries to us, allow us then to use that information multiplied by the price per transaction, which is 25 cents for the registries and 18 cents for the registrars, and invoice their registries and registrars as a consequence. That is our revenue that is driven by the number of domain name registrations. It aggregates to approximately 75% of our revenue on an ongoing basis. On the right, you have the part of our revenue that is driven by the number of contracted parties that are in contract with ICANN, the number of registries or the number of registrars. The revenue there is driven by fixed fees, either by registry by year or by event. So for the registries, the 5.1 million there for the first 6 months of the year corresponds to the per registry $25,000 per year fixed fee that each registry and each new TLD pays to ICANN. The registrar's fees per event or per registrar are the application fees. Each time a new registrar applies to be accredited by ICANN, there's an application fee of $4,000. And there is also, once a registrar has been accredited, there is an annual accreditation fee of also $4,000. There's then a per registrar variable fee, which is a fee in fixed in total for ICANN. That's 3.4 million and has been fixed for a while. That makes up 97% of our revenue. So the fees driven by the number of contracted parties represents approximately 25%, slightly less of our revenue. And the rest of our revenue is made up of the contributions from the CCTLDs, which is a voluntary contribution, both in terms of timing and amount. We have also contributions from the RIR, the regional internet registries, and also a certain amount of revenue from sponsorships at ICANN meetings, the sponsors that have booth or they have their names on the various banners that you can see across the venue, provide sponsorship fees to ICANN as well. Next. This is an overview of the how each of the component of revenue that we have just looked at compares to our budget. The budget was approved early in the fiscal year in September 2014, and we here compare how each component of the revenue is compared to the budget for the same period. So after 6 months, the registry transaction fees are slightly above budget. driven by the volume, as we have just seen, the volume of transactions. The registry fixed fees, the $25,000 that I mentioned a little bit earlier, are a bit below budget, as we know that the number of TLDs delegated into the route is currently slower, ramping up slower than was originally planned as per the budget. And we expect that trend of being lower than budget to continue through the rest of the fiscal year. The registrar fees are higher than budget by approximately $1 million, largely driven by a large number of applications for accreditation that we have received over the last 2 months of the quarter that has driven higher the registrar fees revenue. And the other revenue has a number of timing differences mainly that lead that revenue to be slightly above budget. In total, we're simply a bit above budget by $2 million, $48 million versus a budget of $46 million. This is overall a bit of timing and a bit of variances left and right, but this is simply a good place to be at this stage, having revenue slightly above budget. Next. Expenses. Where our expenses after 6 months, the full bar that you see here indicates the full year budget. For example, our operating expenses at the top have a budget of approximately $101 million. After 6 months, the budget assumed that we would have had expenses of approximately $46 million. And the actual expenses incurred were at $45 million, so slightly below. Capital expenses, our investments, our assets that we purchase, are also a bit below budget at $3 million versus $4 million. And this is a reasonably good place to be, to have, if you think about it, to have revenue a little bit above budget, expenses a little bit under budget. Fadi indicated during the opening ceremony that this was a relatively safe place to be, and this is the result of a certain amount of cost control that we'll see on the next slides. At the bottom of these slides, we're indicating the costs of the USG transition program that in the budget that was approved a few months ago was assumed to be approximately $7 million. It's a large amount of money to support the USG transition project. It was a relatively high-level estimate at the time, very difficult to predict what the activities driven by the community consultation and work would trigger. At this stage, we have had about $1.5 million of expenses incurred versus approximately $3 million that we were expecting to have incurred by that time of the year. So simply a slower rate of spend in the first 6 months. It is expected that the rate of spend would increase over the next few months.
One question. Yeah. Andreas Musilak from DENIC.
Yes.
I have a question. USG, can you explain a bit further what it stands for?
The U.S. government.
U.S. government.
Right.
Okay, and what is the transition project? Is it IANA or what does it?
Well, there's more than just IANA, but yes, it's the accountability track. It's
okay, the accountability, yes,
it's
both.
Absolutely. It's, okay. Yeah, there's four tracks. I just mentioned one of those, but that's what you are describing. Correct. Next slide. That didn't load. If you can give us just a minute, we'll... Yes.
Xavier, my name is Bill Gibson. I'm with the Canadian Internet Registration Authority. I missed the annual revenue budget for FY15. I see the expenses at 116, but I didn't see the revenue. Could you
correct
elucidate me, please?
Sure. The full year revenue for ICANN is budgeted at $104 million. Yes, except that not exactly, simply because you're adding together a few pieces that are not funded in the same fashion. So the USG transition project, for example, is funded through the reserve fund and not through our revenue. But yes, the total expenses budgeted for the year are the 116. Yes, 105 plus 7. Sorry, 105 plus 7 is 112, I think. No problem. Any other questions? Well, we are. Okay. We're going to pause for a second while we update the presentation. While we're doing that, Sharla, you wanted to provide a. You have the flyers? No? No, okay. Give us just a second, please. The next quarterly call, while we're loading the updated presentation, the next quarterly call is scheduled for April 23rd. You can register ahead of time for the call so that you can obtain the information to be able to connect. It has happened so far at 6 a.m. California time, 9 a.m. Eastern U.S. time zone, and 3 p.m. UTC. And we're looking into possibly having more calls happening at different time zones to try to accommodate various parts of the world at the same time.
Xavier.
Yes.
One question about Ulrich Knoben. You showed us the overall figure.
Can you speak closer
yes.
to the mic?
Yes. You presented the overall figure of expenses and revenues. So the deviation from the plan is not that much. I would judge on that in total. So how do you judge that if you come to the breakdown, what is the figures which are behind of the total figures? So how is your shifting, let me say, between the different figures? So where are the biggest deviations behind of that?
So one of the slides that is coming up is going to help us okay. do that. So it's actually the next one. So thank you for that question. Thank you. So this is exactly where we're coming. So thank you for that question, Wolfgang. Can you go to the next slide, please? So the breakdown of our expenses by category of costs. You can see here broken down by category the operating and capital expenses. The operating expenses are broken down by personnel costs, travel and meetings, professional services, and capital, and administrative types of costs. Overall, all the categories or costs are slightly below budget, within budget. This is largely the result of careful management of our baseline expenses. We have on an ongoing basis, a number of processes in place to ensure that we monitor closely and control closely our expenses. We have monthly budget monitoring and variance analysis between actual spend and budget. We have also implemented cost savings task force to help monitor and identify on an ongoing basis new areas of spend to be to sometimes renegotiate, to change processes to save costs. So this is has now become a completely ongoing process. We have also revised our hiring plans during the half to be able to ensure we control our spend and do not exceed budget. And this has so far been quite successful. So our expenses were budgeted for, in total, 51 million. We are at approximately 48 million of expenses between operating and capital. If you can use the mic and say your name, please.
Yeah, Jimson Olufuye. Just looking at the first role, personnel.
Yes.
And where you have better or worse, 3%. But there's no difference in actual and budget. So where do you
It's simply a matter of rounding, Jimson. The numbers round to the same... to 23 million, but there is a slight difference. So it's in the decimals. So 3% of 23 million is approximately what is it? 600,000 approximately. So I think the numbers, and Taryn can correct me, I think the actuals are approximately 22.7 or something like that, and the budget was like 23.2. So they both round up to the same million, but there are decimals behind it. Travel and meetings is a bit slower in spend and a bit lower in spend. There's a little bit of timing in that variance versus budget, simply because of a number of travel volume that has been budgeted in the first half that has not yet happened. Professional services are very close to plan. The professional services are these external resources that or expertise that we source, and they are usually those professional services support a number of projects. It can also be, for example, audit fees are part of that bucket that we have on an ongoing basis. Yes, question.
For the question, where do we find the expenses for our support for the constituencies here?
So potentially in any category, but a lot of the support is provided by a number of staff members. The policy support team, for example, their cost is obviously in personnel. There's a certain amount of travel support that happens also at ICANN meeting. A number of you may be supported by ICANN to be able to come to the meetings, and that is in the travel and meetings line here. Professional services in admin, administrative costs. There are all the costs for the ongoing Adobe and Adigo calls that are supported by ICANN. The costs of maintaining those calls and making them happen are in the administration line. So it's spread across nearly all the categories.
I have also a question.
Yes.
The cost savings you have in the first half year,
right.
Is it a delay of spendings or is it a really cost saving?
So when I was mentioning cost savings here, these are cost savings. The hiring plan revision is a combination of delay as well as reduction.
Okay, thank you.
And the cost savings task force is working on looking at, let's assume, flights costs or travel costs. How can we do the same thing cheaper, right? Do we want to do an RFP to change vendors to try to reduce the prices? We have done a number of RFPs over the past months. For example, office supply. We have renegotiated the prices. It's a relatively small spend, but we're expecting a 25 to 30% reduction, you know. As my grandmother said, a dollar is a dollar. Any more questions on this? Okay. Next. Then during the quarterly call, we provide this overview of the new GTLD program. So we've moved on from the ICANN ongoing operations. This is the new GTLD program, and it's a multi-year view of this program's financials. You can see from the left, during the past three fiscal years, 12, 13, 14, we have spent on the program for the evaluation costs approximately $135 million, and we have refunded withdrawn applications up to $19 million over those 3 years. The refunds, as indicated, are those applicants who withdraw their applications, and depending upon where they are in the process of application, receive a fraction of their application's fees back. The forecast the budget for FY15 is assuming a total of $60 million of spend either on application processing for $46 million or on refunds for approximately $14 million. The next 2 years, currently the program is forecasted to last until the end of FY17. We've extended this forecast last year as it was becoming clear that the program would last longer than originally planned. And for the next two fiscal years after FY15, it is expected that approximately also $60 million of spend would be incurred. The current forecast, therefore, is estimating that there would be a $274 million of application processing costs on the program, as well as refunds together. This leaves approximately $87 million of leftover application fees to be able to cover for the expenses that are not forecasted here relative to risks or hard-to-predict costs. By definition, the risks or the hard-to-predict costs are challenging to plan and not planable, and we're not trying to plan for them. Simply, those are the reserves for the program to be able to cover for those costs if they would occur in the future. So approximately $87 million of remaining funds for unexpected expenses. Again, those can be an extra amount of work relative to certain phases of the program that were not necessarily planned originally, or possible legal type of costs to be incurred. And this was planned in terms of funds provided through the application fee from the applicants so that those expenses can be covered, simply because the program is a cost recovery type of program. The fees were designed to simply cover the costs of the program and no more, no less. Question, yes?
So the application processing costs do not include any costs of CIRA staff, is that correct?
Sorry, of which staff?
Do the CIRA staff do the application processing?
CIRA?
I'm sorry, ICANN. I'm back in another world there. Do the ICANN staff...
You confused me for a second. Yes, in the program, there are the people who support the program, the employees of ICANN who support the program. So if you know those names, Christine Willett and her direct team who support the application processing and organize it, the cost of that team is included in the numbers that you see here.
And under your expenses, your staff's expenses, then it's pulled out of that? Is that what happens?
So On the ICANN operations side, we have the staff's costs that support the ICANN operations. The staff that is dedicated to the new GTLD program, the cost of that of those staff members are in the numbers here that we look at, that are part of the expenses that you see here for application processing, because they organize the application processing. There's also a fraction of ICANN operations staff that support the program but not on a dedicated basis that is also allocated to the program's cost, which is relatively minor.
Thank you.
No problem. Any more questions on the new GTLD program overview? Next. We're now looking at a more narrow part of the program for the past 6 months of the year. So, we, as you've seen, we do a budget also, of course, for the program on an annual basis, and we produce forecasts on also a recurring basis. And over the first 6 months of the year, the program's costs have been approximately on budget, but with some differences, notably the refunds for withdrawn applications have been higher in the first 6 months of the year than we had originally anticipated. This is because there has been resolution of contention sets happening either through auctions held by ICANN as a last resort mechanism, or through self-resolution among applicants over the first 6 months of our fiscal year. And more have happened than we had originally anticipated. It's mainly a timing difference, meaning that we had planned that those withdrawn applications would happen more or later in the program. So it doesn't have much impact other than simply the processing of those applications. But what you can see here is that we had budgeted for a total of $10 million of refunds for the entire fiscal year, and we actually have $11 million of refunds for just the first 6 months. So you can see that it's been happening faster and more than we were originally anticipating for the fiscal year, which, of course, means that in FY16 and 17, we will have a little bit less of that. Otherwise, application processing costs are a bit slower as well than originally planned in the budget for the first 6 months, at $11 million versus $15 million. And the repayment of historical development costs is linked to the number of application processing costs, and also slightly below budget as well. Next. This graph shows you the funds that ICANN currently manages. This is a cash view. And it shows this information over the past, basically it covers 2 years by quarter. The funds include four main different categories. At the top, you have in the dark blue, you have the reserve fund of ICANN, which is currently at $87 million. This is simply the rainy day funds for potential risks. It's simply the reserves of ICANN. The lighter blue number here, which is, can see it very well, but I think it's 14 million or 15 million, is the cash on hand that ICANN operates with on a daily basis. And the orange funds are the leftover funds from the new GTLD program at that date. So the unspent application fees collected in 2012 during the application window is resulting. Can we stay on this slide, please? Is resulting in currently 182 million funds left over. Those funds are entirely segregated. They are on separate bank accounts and investment accounts. The bank accounts that I can use is for its ongoing operations, and the investment accounts in which both the reserve fund and the operating fund are kept are different and separate than the funds that are held for the new GTLD program. In addition, ICANN has received over the past few months, as you know, the proceeds are resulting from auctions. At the end of December, there were 28 million collected as a result of auctions. This is the small gray bar that you can see at the bottom of the rightmost bar. There's been a few more auctions that have completed after the end of the quarter, and currently, if you would go on our website that displays the breakdown of the auction proceeds, you would see that we are at a net amount of 33 million as of today. Again, the operating and reserve fund of ICANN support the ongoing ICANN operations. The new GTLD funds are segregated and separate and kept separate and support the program, and the auction proceeds are also kept separate accounts, and the BFC has just approved to recommend to the board to create a separate investment management account for those funds so that they produce interest while they are being held by ICANN and until those funds are organized by the community for disbursements and usage. So whenever that will effectively start happening, those funds will be kept in a separate investment account. Any questions on this? Jimson.
Yeah, Jimson Olufi. So the funds from the auction, they are not considered as part of the normal income?
Absolutely. They're fully segregated. They will be kept on that account until decisions are made with the community on what to do with them. Don't touch them. We don't do anything with them. They are just going to produce interest while they are there, basically. And honestly, it's a similar exercise for the new GTLD funds, right? Those funds, I hear a lot of people saying that we are sitting on a huge amount of money and we live grandly. Absolutely not. Those funds, we don't touch them. They support only the program, the application fees. The operations of ICANN are tightly managed and monitored on the basis of the revenues that ICANN collect, which we looked at earlier in the previous slides. The revenue that we looked at are the operating resources of ICANN, the new GTLD program, and the auction proceeds are completely separate. This is the last information that was provided during the quarterly stakeholder call. I trust it was useful to have this view, and we'll continue to provide continued information on a quarterly basis on our financial statements. In addition to this information, we have been publishing on our website quarterly financial statements in a audit type of format. So full financial statements are published on our website in the financials section every quarter in a much more detailed format than what you're looking at here. It's more comprehensive. It's a little bit more technical as well, but it provides a more comprehensive and detailed information. Next. This is a busy overview of the calendar for the budget process. If you conclude anything out of this slide, is that there's a lot of steps in the development of our budget process, and it's tight. We do not have a lot of rooms for any delays. We are currently In if you see the February column at the top, you can see the month, and you can see a purple bar, vertical bar, that has at the top says ICANN. It should actually say ICANN 52. For some reason, it's on the Adobe Room. It doesn't appear. We are at ICANN 52 right now, so we are, let's say, one third down in our budget process. What we have done so far, as per this plan, is to have a consultation with a number of community members at ICANN 52 on the budget and on the main assumptions of the budget. We have held an extensive working session on Monday night, this past Monday, in this room, with 11 community members, 10 present and one on the phone. And we have reviewed together with a few staff members the main assumptions of the budget to come. The revenue assumptions, expense assumptions, initiatives, priorities. And we've had a very productive exchange. Jimson was part of the group. So thank you again for that. It was a very good experience to interact directly with community members in a very interactive format, and a small group was a very good way to share information and share views and obtain input on our assumptions that we are using now. We are going to use now these assumptions and the input received to pursue and conclude the development of the draft budget, which will then be submitted for public comment, and that will happen as per this calendar on March 18. This is the green phase that you can see approximately in the middle of the slide with a small banner that says public comment. This is when the draft budget, fully detailed and documented, will be submitted for public comment. And after that phase is concluded, the staff will collect the comments, analyze them, review them, suggest answers and possible changes to the budget as a result. That information will be presented to the board, first to the board finance committee that supervises the budget process of ICANN, for their review and approval that the comments have been, one, adequately analyzed and responded to, and two, that the suggested changes that should be made as a result have adequately been formulated, if there would be any. Once the Board Finance Committee will have done that, and it will be after also further consultations of the stakeholders during that post-public comment period, then the Board Finance Committee will recommend to the board to approve the budget, whether as per the original draft or as amended after the public comments. And the board approval is planned to happen. Right now we have a very specific date, which is 19th of June. We don't yet have actually the day when the board meeting will happen, but it's planned to be, of course, during the Buenos Aires meeting at the end of June, and it will be before the end of June, so that we start our new fiscal year with an approved budget, as we should. Any comments on that calendar? Yes?
This to me looks like a very carefully thought through planning process with lots of opportunity for input, lots of opportunity for adjustments if necessary. One of the comments I saw under the transition was that the stakeholders should approve the budget. What are your comments on that?
So there's a very technical fiduciary answer to that question. Yes, the stakeholders are involved in ICANN, but from a corporation standpoint, the stakeholders do not have a governance power and control, which is part of the discussion that is happening. So the board is the mean through which the community really approves the budget. From our perspective, it's an extremely collaborative work where the staff drafts information, submits it for review, and takes into account the comments. It is a challenging exercise to carry out in an absolute and perfect manner, and we've had made incremental progress over the past years to enable more input, to provide more information and more clarity so that the stakeholders can provide comments in an increasing amount of comments and more qualitative comments on the budget. And the board is very attentive, and of course, thanks to the input of the community or from the input of the ATRT teams, for example, the Accountability and Transparency Review teams have made recommendations of their past two review processes so that we improve the process that allows the board to understand and take into account the public comments, and the staff is trying to support that process. And notably, this year we have advanced in time the public comment process so that we can allow for iteration with the board after it. This is to try to further enhance that ownership, I would say, by the board of have we correctly considered the stakeholders' input so that all of that input can effectively be taken into account in the budget. The approval by the community of the budget is enabled through a process that today is the one that we are showing here. There is a fiduciary requirement, a legal requirement, that resolutions that the authority that governs the organization, which is the board, can make a decision. But the board is making that decision on the basis of the staff having adequately received and collected and processed the input from the community. And we need to just continue allowing that interaction, that input, and the involvement of the community to be more frequent, deeper, more detailed, and more comprehensive, so that then that involvement helps taking that ownership, really. There's a lot of work, but this is the direction that we're going to as well. No, thank you. Any other questions on the calendar? Next slide, please. This is another separate additional part of the budget process. Wolf Ulrich was asking a question earlier about the SO and AC additional budget request process. This is what this is about. It's that separate budget process that we have created a few years ago to enable SOs and AECs to formulate requests of funding for very specific actions. So we have a process of application for funding requests. This process, the next step is, the current step is for SOs and AECs to formulate their applications. The deadline is February 28th for the submission of applications. After February 28th, the staff will review the applications and the requests. There is a panel of review that is led by Sally Costerton for Global Stakeholder Engagement and David Olive for Policy Development. I also participate to it to provide a financial perspective to this review. And recommendations are then formulated and submitted to the Board Finance Committee that reviews them one by one in detail and provides either approval or corrections requests to the staff so that we adjust the recommendations. And once the BFC is satisfied with the adequacy of the responses provided to the requests, then these requests are submitted for board approval, separately than the rest of the budget. And we intend to have that happening around the 15th of April. It will probably be likely be slightly later, maybe about 10 days later, because there's a board workshop happening between the 23rd and 24th of April. So that's probably when it will effectively happen. That board approval on those requests is happening at a different timing than the rest of the budget. If you remember on the previous slides, I indicated that the board would approve the budget in June. We have extracted that process from the overall timeline simply to allow those organizations who had requested funding and for which those requests have been approved to start planning for the activities that are the subject of those requests earlier in the year. What we had encountered in the past is that when the board was approving the budget at the end of June and someone had applied for a request for funding, for example, for an event that happens early August, that gives very little time to be able to plan for it. So we have disconnected this process from the rest of the planning in order to allow the board approval to happen earlier and therefore give more time for the organizations to plan for their activities. Any questions on that? Okay. Carol? Yep. Thank you.
This is just to share one of the big differences and to remind everybody that between the strategic plan of the past and the FY16 to 20 strategic plan, that there are some changes if you look at format and structure. So in the FY15, there were four objectives, and for FY16 to 20, there are five. There are 16 goals in FY16. There were also 16 goals in FY15, but they were different goals. There are 64 current planned portfolios, and this is just to show you that the structure is different so that when you look at any costing, if you wanted to look at it as a roll-up, is what is it by objective or goal, it is different than in FY15, and that is what we are incorporating when we build the budget for FY16, this new structure. It's just to share. The number of projects varies throughout the year. Right now, we're in the neighborhood of about 350 looking at FY16. I want to go back just one slide. These are the five strategic goals for our FY16 to FY20. And the biggest difference here is that number five says develop and implement global public interest framework bounded by ICANN's mission. That is the newest addition to the strategic objectives as to what was written from this year to next year. And I just wanted to point it out since we're moving forward and starting to plan accordingly. So this is the last slide of the presentation. So if there are any more questions, please feel free. It's open. We'll be happy to answer any, whether it's on planning process, whether it's on key performance indicators, the financial model. Any questions with regards to that, we'd be happy to take them at this time.
Are there any questions on the remote participation? Okay.
I don't see any hands or anything, so thank you all. Oh, go ahead, please, Jensen.
Well, first and foremost, so thank you very much for the engagement so far, very constructive and timely. Well, what I'm going to say is just, you've mentioned something close to that, that perhaps in the next revision it could happen. Because I've been hearing a lot of it in this meeting about the goal prioritization, that two supposed to be one in a way concerning the main mission of ICANN. You know, it's agreed that it's, this has been accepted and approved, this strategic objective. You know, but just to mention that I've been hearing a lot that I can need to more focus on the healthy, stable, and resilient unique identifier ecosystem being number one. You know, so just to as closing remark to just flag that many in the community, maybe by the next revision, will be focusing a lot on that, that indeed should be number one, should remain ICANN core. Why the others, too, are very important.
So if I understand your comment, you're saying that support a healthy, stable, and resilient unique identifier system is a number one priority, right, in terms of focus and direction. I understand that. This doesn't, the strategic objectives, they were not prioritized when they were put together, so each one has its own block of work to be done, but it's good to note, and when you look at the financial, we'll see how that ties out and the resources and deliverable correspond. So thank you. Any other questions? Any other comments? Okay, thank you very much. This concludes this presentation.
Thank you.